The way that the world views something is an energetic binding. If there's enough people that believe a certain way, it can be a binding. And so if you are able to escape that binding and, as in Neville's words, become intuitively observant, you would actually see that there's a very different interpretation that reveals itself to you. Welcome back to another episode of Daily Neville. I am your host, Josiah Brandt, and Daily Neville is all about breaking down the teachings of Neville Goddard, making them easy to understand, easy to digest, easy to apply in 20 minutes or less. Today, we are continuing with Neville's 1941 book titled, Your Faith is Your Fortune. And this is chapter 2, You Shall Decree. We're going to jump right in. Chapter 2. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isaiah 55:11. Neville writes, man can decree a thing, and it will come to pass. Man has always decreed that which has appeared in his world. He is today decreeing that which is appearing in his world, and he shall continue to do so as long as man is conscious of being man. Nothing has ever appeared in man's world but what man decreed that it should. This you may deny, but try as you will, you cannot disprove it. For this decreeing is based upon a changeless principle. Man does not command things to appear by his words, which are, more often than not, a confession of his doubts and fears. Decreeing is ever done in consciousness. Every man automatically expresses that which he is conscious of being. Without effort or the use of words, at every moment of time, man is commanding himself to be and to possess that which he is conscious of being and possessing. We're going to start there. Every man automatically expresses that which he is conscious of being. Now, we're going to draw in some other Neville ideas here that he's not talked about yet, but we know from other parts of his work and have explored in depth. So this is the idea of a state of being, a state of consciousness, a state of awareness of being, a man's state. And a state is, according to Neville, the sum total of all that a human accepts and consents to as being true of himself and others. All that a man believes and consents to as being true of self and others. That is a state of being. So that's a belief system. But not just, oh, I believe this or that. It's a sum total of all of your beliefs, which when summarized, summed up, almost like you're you know, tallying them all up, that sum total is a state. And that state takes into account all of the aspects of your beliefs, all of the aspects of your worldview, all of the aspects of your consciousness, really all of the aspects of your programming and education and your identity. All of that is your state of being. And your state of being outpictures into the world that you walk through each and every day. And the difference in states explains how two people can sit next to each other and experience a whole day together. Let's say, you know, they could be attached at the hip and walk around and experience a whole world together and have the quote unquote the same experience all day long. And at the end of the day, relate two very different internal experiences of an external world. It's because of a difference in their states of being. Their states of being. Even what we notice about what's happening around us is determined by our state. And I'm going to make this really simple, even just by saying that, you know, when we're really laser focused on something, we may not even notice something that other people would notice if they were sitting right next to us. And it's because of our state. Our state of being on some level allows us to have that level of razor sharp focus, whereas other people, maybe their state of being doesn't include beliefs that they are able to focus, and thus they are easily distracted. I'm using it as just a very elementary example of these states of being and how they account for our different experiences day to day. And what Neville is saying here is that we are actually decreeing through our state of being, and we don't have a choice but to express automatically our state, that of which we are conscious of being. Continuing with Neville's words here, without effort or use of words at every moment of time, man is commanding himself to be and to possess that which he is conscious of being and possessing. This changeless principle of expression is dramatized in all the Bibles of the world. The writers of our sacred books were illumined mystics, past masters in the art of psychology. In telling the story of the soul, they personified this impersonal principle in the form of a historical document, both to preserve it and to hide it from the eyes of the uninitiated. They personified this impersonal principle, which is the changeless principle of expression. Okay, so it's personified because it's impersonal. So why is it impersonal? Because this isn't only true for me, and it's not only true for you. It's actually true for everyone. Everyone is in a state. Everyone is out picturing their state into a world, and this is how Source gets to experience itself. Living in the mind of God through billions of individual points of perspective and awareness, all of which are in states, all of which are experiencing the world through a distinct state. So it's personified in that this impersonal principle, which applies to everybody, is now condensed into characters and told as a story in the Bible. And Neville says it was put in the form of a historical document so that it reads like it's history. Well, we all know that if that indeed was the intent, these illumined mystics were successful, because a lot of the so-called uninitiated world accepts the Bible as history. And of course, one of Neville's core theses is that it is history, but not in a physical sense. It's divine history. And he'll explain a lot more about that as we go. Today, Neville writes, those to whom this great treasure has been entrusted, namely the priesthoods of the world, have forgotten that the Bibles are psychological dramas representing the consciousness of man. In their blind forgetfulness, they now teach their followers to worship its characters as men and women who actually lived in time and space. When man sees the Bible as a great psychological drama, with all of its characters and actors as the personified qualities and attributes of his own consciousness, then and only then will the Bible reveal to him the light of its symbology. This impersonal principle of life, which made all things, is personified as God. This Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, is discovered to be man's awareness of being. If man were less bound by orthodoxy and more intuitively observant, he could not fail to notice in the reading of the Bibles that the awareness of being is revealed hundreds of times throughout this literature. Neville's going to name a few of these times, but first I just want to mention here, if man were less bound by orthodoxy, so orthodoxy is the conventional interpretation or the inherited interpretation or what we're taught by others. Neville is saying if we were less bound by that, because in many ways that is a binding. The way that the world views something is an energetic binding. If there's enough people that believe a certain way, it can be a binding. And so if you are able to escape that binding and, as in Neville's words, become intuitively observant, you would actually see that there's a very different interpretation that reveals itself to you. Neville continues to name a few of these hundreds of times where the awareness of being is revealed as the Lord God, creator of the heaven and earth. To name a few of these, I am hath sent me unto you. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord, and there is no God. I am the shepherd. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way. I am the beginning and the end. I am. Man's unconditioned awareness of being is revealed as Lord and Creator of every conditioned state of being. If man would give up his belief in a God apart from himself, recognize his awareness of being to be God, this awareness, which fashions itself in the likeness and image of its conception of itself, he would transform his world from a barren waste to a fertile field of his own liking. Very powerful statements here. If we could recognize our awareness of being to be God, to be the awareness that fashions itself in the likeness and image of its conception of itself. If you think about this, in season 2 of Daily Neville, the very end of Prayer, the Art of Believing, Neville talks about the ultimate prayer. And prayer is a way of being, as we discuss in detail in that series. And he says the ultimate prayer is to pray that I am Jesus Christ, which is the ultimate form of the divine expressing in the form of being human. And really, if this unchangeable law of the universe is that our awareness of being fashions itself and its world in the likeness and image of its conception of itself, then to conceive ourselves to be in the state of Jesus Christ is to fashion in the image and likeness of the divine ourselves and our world, which is a remarkable state of being and is an incredible invitation to sit with and ultimately to accept. Neville writes, "The day man does this, he will know that he and his Father are one, but his Father is greater than he. He will know that his consciousness of being is one with that which he is conscious of being, but that his unconditioned consciousness of being is greater than his conditioned state or his conception of himself. When man discovers his consciousness to be the impersonal power of expression, which power eternally personifies itself in his conceptions of himself, he will assume and appropriate that state of consciousness which he desires to express. In so doing, he will become that state in expression." What Neville is saying here is that when we discover our consciousness to be the impersonal power of expression, our consciousness to be that which forms ourselves and our worlds in the likeness and image of the conception of ourselves, when a man does that, he will assume and appropriate what he desires to express. And in so doing, he will take the power back and begin to express that state. And that's exactly what that is. It's when you realize that your consciousness will outpicture your state, you can choose your state. And then you can outpicture your consciousness through that state. Again, imitating the original act of creation. Neville says, "You shall decree a thing, and it shall come to pass, can now be told in this manner." So he's going to translate this, "You shall decree a thing." And he translates it as follows. "You shall become conscious of being or possessing a thing, and you shall express or possess that which you are conscious of being." Sounds like a prophecy. The law of consciousness is the only law of expression. I am the way. The only law of expression is the law of consciousness. I am the resurrection. Consciousness is the way, as well as the power which resurrects and expresses all that man will ever be conscious of being. Turn from the blindness of the uninitiated man who attempts to express and possess those qualities and things which he is not conscious of being and possessing. And B, as the illumined mystic, who decrees on the basis of this changeless law. Consciously claim yourself to be that which you seek. Appropriate the consciousness of that which you see, and you too will know the status of the true mystic as follows. So he's going to give the creed of the true mystic, and it is as follows. I became conscious of being it. I am still conscious of being it, and I shall continue to be conscious of being it until that which I am conscious of being is perfectly expressed. I'm going to read that again, and I invite you to say it with me, with feeling. I became conscious of being it. I am still conscious of being it. And I shall continue to be conscious of being it until that which I am conscious of being is perfectly expressed. Yes, I shall decree a thing, and it shall come to pass. Awesome second chapter there from Your Faith is Your Fortune by Neville Goddard. Really looking forward to continuing this series with the next episode, which is all about the next chapter titled The Principle of Truth. Until then, imagine wisely, my friends, and I'll see you in the next.